Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Grace to See Differently.
Number 12. Hey man, come on, tell your neighbor, say neighbor, get plugged in real well. Get plugged in real well, amen. So we can do the work of the kingdom, all right? 2 Corinthians, amen. When I finish the scriptures, ministers, you can be released, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 6 through 10, amen. A holiday weekend, I want to get you out of here, amen. But I do have, amen, a word from the Lord to share with you, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, amen, verse 6 through 10. When you have the word, say, I have the word. Amen. If you need a moment, say, wait a minute. I didn't hear nobody say, wait a minute. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse 6, amen, through 10, amen. If you don't mind, Elder Nicole, please read the scripture for me if you don't mind. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6 through 10.
For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Man, theologians down through the history have tried to figure out what this is, missing the fact that he says exactly what it is. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Was it a sickness? Was it his shortness? Was it his inability to write? He had to have a stride. What was it? No, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I sought the Lord three times. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart for these next 15, 20 minutes. Make me, amen, an able minister. Put the word in my heart so much so that when I preach and when I open my mouth, God, it comes out of me. Words that heal and words that save and words that deliver. God, speak through me, God, and give me articulation of speech, but more importantly, give me the power, amen, of Pentecost. God, preach through me, God. Preach through me to the point that somebody said, what must I do to be saved? Preach through me to somebody says, I am healed, I am healed. Preach through me to somebody, amen, with demons screaming coming out of them to say, I'm delivered forever. Use me, Lord. Here I am, my feet, my hands. I'm available. Speak. And then when you're finished, God, let that great love of Christ now abide in all of our hearts, Lord. Let that great love of Christ abide in our hearts that we can now heal Rock Raven Village. We can heal greater healing there. We can deliver Towson University. We can set free Morgan State University because we heard preach that we became not hearers but doers of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your name, and all God's people said amen. And amen. For a few moments, I want to talk from a subject, graced to see differently. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, amen, speak to somebody and say, I've been graced to see differently. I've been graced to see differently. We must fully understand from last week's message that we are now bound and we are now determined and we are now advancing the kingdom of God. We are now bound to the gospel. We are now determined to finish our course, and we are now advancing the kingdom of God. In Philippians chapter number 1, verse 11 and 12, it says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. But I would you to understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me, they happen, have fallen unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to me are for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened unto me are for the furtherance of the gospel. The life of Apostle Paul, the life of Jesus Christ, and the life of many biblical examples shows us with clear evidence that everything really does work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. Do me a favor, just go ahead and tell somebody, say, it's working together for our good. If you study the life of Paul, if you study the life of Jesus Christ, but then there are a plethora of other examples that God demonstrate to us that if you love me and you understand, and even if you don't understand, but you are called according to my purpose, this stuff gonna work for your good. I don't care what's going on in your job. Apostle Paul, Jesus teaching us, it's gonna work for our good. Come on, do me a favor, talk to somebody. Say, it's gonna work for our good. Life of Apostle Paul, the life of Jesus, it shows us this. We have a divine purpose, and I really get, I'm trying to get y'all to your Memorial Day holiday cookouts, all right? So I'm not going to preach that long, but I am going to preach till I'm finished. All right, I'm glad three people are clapping, and the rest of y'all are mad as I don't know what. We have a divine purpose on the inside of us that will keep us alive. We have a divine purpose on the inside of us that will keep us alive regardless of hell and high waters and demons and beasts of Ephesus sent after us and devils and witches and warlocks. With the divine purpose in us, some stuff can't kill us. We have a divine purpose on the inside of us that will keep us alive. And will not only keep us alive, but it will keep us progressing. It will not only keep us alive, it will not only keep us progressing, but it will also make us overcomers of everything that comes. And when you look around and, God, I don't want to do it like that, y'all, because I want to get y'all to y'all cookout. When you look around and you look at stuff that should have killed you and stuff that should have taken you out and you should have been hushed up or in somebody's insane asylum and you still standing, it ain't cause of you, it's cause of that divine purpose which is on the inside of you. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor it's keeping you alive. It's keeping you alive. But it's not just keeping you alive. If you look back 5 years ago, you now recognize that I'm much further than I ever imagined I would be. I'm glad I got a strong hand clapper over there today. If you look back 5 years ago, the nasty attitude, you done dropped that off. And the negative disposition, it done gone away from you. And the discouragement, head hanging down. 5 years ago, this stuff would have made me cry like a baby. But now I stand tall and I say, it's Tuesday, let's go. Because there's a divine purpose that's keeping you alive and it's keeping you progressing. And it's keeping you overcoming everything that comes. Come on, do me a favor. Just throw your hands up and say, God, thank you for divine purpose.
Thank you for divine purpose.
There's a divine purpose inside of us that is keeping us alive. It's keeping us progressing. It's causing us to overcome stuff that they didn't overcome.
No, that's right.
And it's because of divine purpose. And regardless of every lie of the enemy, I'm still seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God. Oh God. Anybody besides me looked up this week and you said, Lord, have mercy. There go the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's the divine purpose. It's the thing that's keeping you alive. And now God has made you such an overcomer. Things that should have taken you out, it took you over.
That's right.
And you're still seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want y'all to think about that for a moment, because some of us saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and forgot to tell God thank you. He was good one more time, and we forgot to throw up our hands. Be careful in this age of entitlement that we thank God over something, and he keeps waking us up. He keeps starting us on our way. He keeps opening one more door, and we go through the door and don't stop and say, God, I just want to thank you. Why don't we take 15 seconds and have a thank you break? Because I keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. I keep waking up seeing the goodness of the Lord. I keep going back to my job seeing the goodness of the Lord. I keep hugging my wife seeing the goodness of the Lord. Keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. Don't know why, don't know how he did it, but I keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. Yeah, God. One more week you made a way. One more day you put bread on the table. One more day you put a roof over my head. One more day you gave me the activities of my life. One more day you gave me strength that I needed. Keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I can hang out right there. Just tell somebody, I keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. Tell somebody else, I keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. I keep seeing the goodness of the Lord. I thought on the thought, I looked at Genesis chapter number 13. Sorry, Genesis chapter number 28. It says, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and of thy father. I am the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee I will give it to thee and thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and they shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into the land, to this land, and I will not leave you. Here it is. And I will not leave you until I've done the thing that I've spoken of you. What that means is, you're going to keep seeing my goodness until I've done with you what I said I was going to do with you. Even when we sin, do you not know it is the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance? The key here is faith. The key is, how do you see things from your perspective? And that's what I'm trying to get to this morning. If you're not careful, you live in your best life and you don't even realize it. If you don't realize it, thank you, Edward, for shaking your head. If you don't realize it, this stuff looking pretty good, and I didn't think it was that good. If you're not careful, you'll fail to realize he done brought us a mighty long way. The key is faith. The key is, how is life playing out from your perspective? I'm almost where I need to be. You can stay there now. You give it the doxology, me son. Here it is. I told you a few moments ago, we keep seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But the key is faith. The key is, how is life playing out from our perspective? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how's your life playing out from your perspective? Be careful, because you might call some bad things bad, and they really are good. Faith, and how do you see life from your perspective. I told y'all I went through a season, and I was talking to God and having a conversation, and God said, shut up, son. This is the best thing that could have happened to you. And I ain't called none of that stuff that he was called the best thing. I ain't called none of it the best thing that could have happened to me. Are y'all still here? Do me a favor, ask your neighbor one time. Say, neighbor, how is life from your perspective? Don't answer too quickly, because if you answer too quickly, you're going to speak from a wisdom of this world realm. You're going to speak from a temporal posture. When I begin to study sight, there are basically three, and I'll bring in a fourth one that is related to scientific comedies, but there are three basic perspectives of what kind of vision I have. The first one is called nearsighted. If I'm not careful, my vision of life is from a posture of being nearsighted. And I have, let me see how many people I have wear glasses today. If y'all got glasses on, because I might need y'all to help me preach this sermon. All right. Let me see your glasses, because I'm going to need y'all in a minute. Stay with me, all right? The first perspective of how we see things, if we're talking about natural vision, the first perspective is we're nearsighted. Nearsighted people are unable to see things clearly unless they're relatively close. They can't see things far away. Sometimes God is setting us up for a next week thing, and we got to do something today. Y'all, come on, stay with me. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God is setting us up for something next week, but because he's setting us up for something next week, there's something that we got to do today. But if we are nearsighted in our spiritual view, we ain't going to want to do that, because that's too far away. Second type of vision that we have is farsightedness. When we're farsighted, nearby objects appear blurry. Hyperobia is called. To see one, one must stand or squint their eyes. Reading, computer work, drawing, long periods. It even causes them to strain and have headaches. But everything must be seen with the squinting of the eye. And the third one that you know is 20/20 vision. What another person see at 20 feet, you see at 20 feet. That's 20/20 vision. How does life look to you from your perspective? I'm about done, y'all. Be careful. You might be looking at life through nearsighted spiritual vision. Be careful. You might be looking at life through farsighted vision. Can I go a little deeper? You really, when it comes to life and spiritual view, you don't even want 20/20 vision. There's another vision called X-ray vision. God. There's another vision called X-ray vision. It is science fiction stories of superhero comics that have the vision to see through physical objects. And the greatest example of this is Superman. Sometimes, oh God, I'm almost there, Quasi. Sometimes you got to look through current happenings. I'm not going to do it long, y'all. Y'all come on. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord, turn on my X-ray vision, because this stuff is too close and I'm not interpreting it right. Sometimes everything in front of us, because of what we're going through, is blurred. Don't let two or three bad things happen. You'll find out that you're seeing life through blurred visions. And you have to have X-ray vision. And somebody say that's scientific. But I came to tell you it ain't scientific. It's biblical. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Ask of me concerning things to come, and I will show you great, and I will show you, Jeremiah, come on, Bible students, I'm in Jeremiah, I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. You can ask God, and he will have you look through what's happening now, and he'll have you see what's just ahead. ahead because you had spiritual x-ray vision. Do me a favor, put your hand on your eyes and say, Lord, let me start seeing life with x-ray vision. And when I begin to meditate on this scripture, I come to discover it is grace that empowers us to see life differently. Paul sees life with this messenger of Satan. Apostle Paul sees life, and I got to get to my text, and you can go back to doxology, me son, because I'm about done. Paul is seeing life through this messenger of Satan. He's seeing life through this thorn of flesh. He is literally seeing life as someone weak that can't handle what he's going through. And I would probably argue with those conclusions reading the text and what I know historical about the text. Paul was at a place that he's contemplating giving up. And God has to shake him and say, son, you ain't seeing correctly. I know I'm not the only one. Every now and then, because of what I'm going through, I need to be shaken to be told things ain't as they were up here. Come on, y'all. Come on, let's be real. Every now and then you go to work and you, come on, LaShawn, tell the truth. Every now and then when you packing your school stuff to go home, you planning not to come back. Come on, y'all. That's a different type, y'all. I wish y'all would be truth tellers in here. Every now and then when you packing your school stuff, you packing like I ain't seeing you no more. I ain't got to worry about you no more. You done got on my nerve for the last time. And when I say goodbye, I really mean goodbye. You don't know it. And you packing and you walking and you talking about you leaving. And then Holy Ghost kick in and say, go put your stuff back down. Okay. I still ain't coming back. I'm just listening to the Holy Ghost. He said, put the stuff down. He ain't say stay. And every now and then, and this is what I believe in this text happened to Apostle Paul. He was shaken. He felt weak. He's going through. And he said, I got this message. It's like he's telling God, God, don't you see who beating up my head every day? And God says one thing, grace. Oh, God. Not a long dissertation, not a long argument, grace. Somebody need to hear me today. You waiting for God to tell you some long explanation of what you're going through, and he's already placed over you grace. Oh, God. Yeah, you would have quit, but grace. Yeah, you would have given up, but grace. Yeah, you thought it was over. You were counted out, but grace. Tell somebody I've been graced to see differently. Three things, y'all, and I'm done. I'm not playing with y'all today. I'm done. Number one. All of us are in need of an amazing grace. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. When you go to verse number 6 and 7, Paul is talking about being exalted above measure. The danger, come on a little closer, and I got to get done, y'all. The danger is either being exalted above measure or having such low self-esteem that you can't do life. We're either so prideful that can't nobody tell us anything, or we're so left esteem nobody can dig us out. And God trying to tell you, wait a minute, I graced you to live a balanced life. That you're not prideful, but you're not of a low self-esteem either. Amazing grace brings us into balance that we don't have extreme highs and extreme lows, but we keep doing life with consistency, commitment, and completion. It was rough today, but grace. Nearly hung my head today, but grace. You have been graced to see things differently. So to all of us. I get done. Number one. Come on, Sydney. Let's get out of here. You're gonna be like Pastor Long. You're gonna be talking about me so much this week. How quick I did that to your mama. Number one. Come on, tell all of your neighbor. All of us need grace. None of us are without the need of grace. Without grace, we're gonna hang our heads too low. Without grace, we're gonna be too puffed up. Without grace, we're gonna miss it. Without grace, we're gonna go the wrong way. But grace keeps pulling us back. Grace keeps pulling us in. Grace keeps pulling us forward. Grace keeps lifting us up. Grace keeps calming us down. Grace keeps strengthening us. All of us in need of grace. Where without grace, our thoughts would generally be so out of an alignment, we would be cuckoo and crazy. All of that. We'd be sitting in the corner eating some carpet. Y'all just don't know, y'all. I learned something about Sister Rhonda this morning. I never cried the rest of the whole new members class. I'm like, my sister been sitting among us and she went through that? What? Yeah, y'all got it. She lived through it because of grace. I could go to this side of the room and tell you a whole nother story about what somebody went through here. Grace. I could go back there and tell your sister about my sister that her hair is growing back. Grace. All of us don't bum your head and forget. I can't go to work tomorrow without grace. I can't do this marriage without grace. I can't raise these children without grace. I can't birth that multi-million-dollar business without grace. I can't get my son through college without grace. I can't even preach right. I feel it, y'all. Preach right without grace. Tell your neighbor, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better thank God for grace.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.